Formal session. So we will do so. I will now call the formal session of the Commonwealth Transportation Board for the month of September into order. And I believe our first agenda item is public comment. We have only a few signed up, so anybody will be asked to who would like to speak after those that I've seen signed up may do so. Our policy is 3 minutes. If you would please, our first guest is Craig Horn. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary and Commissioner and board members. My name is Craig Horn. I am the County Administrator for Buchanan County, and would like to make just a few comments, and I'm not a long speaker, so that's always good for most people. I would like for you guys to consider funding 460 Connector section that's called Poplar Creek. That section was, or still is, part of Corridor Q. It does not have to go through HB2. When the funding was changed, I think a couple years ago, and MAP 21 came into existence the way we understand it now, the board committed to my county and others that they would continue to support that section and finish 460 and make it a four-lane highway through Buchanan County and finish 460. So we would like to see you guys do that. Prior to MAP 21, you guys were putting about $30 million on it per year. Since MAP 21, we haven't seen any new money put on the highway. I understand it is short. It is not fully funded. We'd like to see you do that. There's only one section left. That one section comes from Poplar Creek, which is a rural area in Buchanan County, to the only town in Buchanan County. It's very hard to imagine what type of road people have to travel now on 460 to make that section. It's very unsafe. I heard one of the board members make a comment he might like to have some cuts if I've got plenty of it where I come from that you can have. It does hold up the road, but it does bring other problems with it. Most of our grounds, you guys know, straight up and down, very little flat property. The county invested, starting about 12 or 13 years ago, a large amount for local government. We put of our own money, about $25 million into a property to induce economic development in the future. We need that last section finished. Whatever you guys have to do to make it happen, we would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Horn. Next, I have Nancy Smith. Good morning.
Good morning. Nancy Smith with the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance. I'm also here on behalf of a coalition of several business organizations from Northern Virginia who cannot all make it down to Bristol this week. First, we are pleased to see that the 66 outside the Beltway improvements are moving forward with the bold solution of the two express lanes, three general purpose lanes with potential auxiliary lanes in key areas, as well as reservation for future transit extension and robust enhancement of existing and new transit throughout the corridor. We think that these solutions will help address not only today's demand in that corridor, but also accommodate future growth that is projected to occur predominantly in the western portions of the region. Improvements in this corridor are critical for Northern Virginia's long-term prosperity and security, as I-66 is also a key evacuation route for the National Capital Region. But in fact, these types of long-term investments are vital to the prosperity and security of the entire National Capital Region, not just Northern Virginia. Recommendations by planners that were made over 50 years ago in the 1960s planned for many of the critical needs that we face today as a region. And land use and growth patterns in our region have developed as were projected all those decades ago, yet we lack many of the key infrastructure investments that were planned out during that time, primarily the lack of Potomac River crossings, as you have just discussed recently, those were recommended all those years ago. We greatly appreciate the resolution that was just put before you and the discussion that just occurred. As you know, the study that you all heard reports on in July did not look at solutions to the challenge of our connectivity between Virginia, Maryland, and the district. And we feel that continued and robust discussions with Maryland and the district and Virginia will help find the best solutions possible for our region. Certainly, the business community in Northern Virginia agrees that improvements made to the American Legion Bridge, as well as other crossings within our region, such as the Roslyn Tunnel, are critical investments to be made. But equally important is a longstanding business community priority of looking at additional crossings in our region for increased connectivity with Maryland, for better prosperity and quality of life for our citizens, and for increased and improved security for our region that is key for our nation's functioning. And to that end, following the study that was released back in July, a coalition of more than 20 business organizations sent a letter to Governor McAuliffe urging not only to enter discussions with Maryland on improvements to the American Legion Bridge and other crossings, but to explore additional new capacity for our region. So we hope that the resolution put before you today by your colleagues, that you will consider that and know that the need for benefits for the need for and the benefits for Virginia and Maryland of new Potomac River crossings and new capacity are obvious and urgent, I think, as your discussions pointed out today. And we would urge that you endorse the resolution before you, reaching out to Maryland and D.C. to discuss and move forward on how best meet the solutions and achieve these benefits via construction of a new crossing or and expansion of existing connections. As you discussed, there is no one single solution to the challenges of crossing our Potomac River, but certainly robust discussions with our neighbors will help us find those. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Beth. Mr. Cox, I don't know if you're Terry or Jerry, but please, would you come up and address us? Thank you for coming today.
My name is Jerry Cox.
You look like your brother.
Thank you.
Good to see you, Mr. Cox.
Thank you, and I want to thank the board for coming to Bristol today and discussing our local problems along with the state agenda. And I'm here from Duffield, Virginia, and I'm here to ask the board to consider an extra lane on Route 58 between Duffield and the small community in Lee County of Stickleyville, Virginia. Right now in Duffield, Virginia, we have a five-lane highway that was completed in the early 1990s. And also west of Duffield in the small community of Stickleyville on Route 58, headed west toward Cumberland Gap Tunnel, is a three-lane highway that was completed in the mid-90s. And what's left in the center is a 1964 Lyndon Baines Johnson two-lane highway that was 50 years old, and it's had several slides. And this past winter, that road was pretty dangerous, even though VDOT kept it open. And there's been several slides. There's a major truck stop at Duffield. And the reason being, this is a direct route. 58 picks up Route 23, and it's a direct route to the Tri-Cities. And in that western end of the Cumberland Gap Tunnel, you pick up Interstate 75. So you're connecting two interstates here. And we have truck traffic, and for some reason, my brother and I have been coming here for 20 years since Mark Warner was a member of this board. And all we can do is just bring this to the attention of the board and possibly the PE has been done. The PE, the engineering, Mr. Necessary, VDOT did a great job. The estimate cost is $32 million for that extra lane. And I know in our district, money's limited, and this is one of the top projects in the Scott County, Lee County area. We need that extra lane for that truck traffic. And we've had fatalities there, and I just want to thank the board again for coming and bringing this to your attention. And I thank the secretary for the clarity of the meetings. And also, I'm on the web a lot, and I appreciate those updates, especially back in the winter. And I also like the board members the meetings on the internet. I like to follow that. So hopefully things can be some positive impact on that extra lane. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. And we do understand, I believe, that project is going to be in the scoring for House Bill 2. So the good news is it's you're in the hat. So that's that's good. So
yes, sir.
We'll follow
yes,
that
sir.
Through.
And I think that the criteria will be favorable. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, very much. That's all the people that I'm aware of. Would anybody else like to address the board before we move into the other parts of our action agenda? I'd like to mention every time we're in Bristol for public meetings, we always get a great turnout. So very much appreciate the input that we receive down here. Well, seeing none, then we will move into our action item agenda. The first order of business is the approval of the July 15th minutes. Is there a move for approval?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, Mr. Moore, you're up on the maintenance division.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The items here are votes on naming of two bridges. The first bridge is commemorative naming of the bridge in Lynchburg District in Pennsylvania County, Route 360 over Route 29 is the Irvin C. Burton Senior Memorial Bridge. That has been voted on by Pennsylvania County, and at their request that we will post those signs if you vote that way, and we recommend doing it, and they will reimburse us for us.
Mr. Rosen, I understand you will be submitting these. So
on behalf of Ms. Valentine, and I will mention Mr. Burton, as an advocate for public education for all children, played a pivotal role in public school integration and was the driving force behind the construction of the first high school for African-American students in Southern Pennsylvania County. So I move the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion, comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Mr. Moore?
The second bridge is in city of Fredericksburg, and is at the request of the city of Fredericksburg. It is a requested commemorative naming of the Fall Hill Avenue Bridge over Interstate 95 to name the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Bridge. This particular bridge is under construction right now, and so the new bridge will also have a new name with it. Again, with the former, we will place the signs, and they will reimburse. City of Fredericksburg will reimburse us if you decide to move forward with this, and we recommend that we move forward with the commemorative naming.
Mr. Connors.
I have nothing to add. Just move for the resolution.
Second.
Any other discussion, comments? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Mr. Lawson?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. The first item I have for you, number three, is the addition of a project to the six-year program. This is a this particular project is a safety project in Salem District. We request your approval of this addition.
Mr. Quayle.
I move the addition. Second.
Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Thank you. Next item, number four, is the air transfers for the period of June 25th through August 21. These are all routine transfers, nothing specific to point out to you at this time. I think the list of particular projects are included in your package.
Is there a move for approval?
Second.
Second?
Second.
Okay. All right. All those in favor, please say aye. Or any discussion first or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you. Mr. Lawson.
All right. Moving right along. Item number five is the resolution before you for item number five is a standard resolution that we bring to you this time every year. It is air approval to move forward with the final obligation of federal funds as we approach the end of the federal fiscal year. This includes the processing of the bonus OA, which we did receive $55 million this year, as well as any other small obligation adjustments that we need to make as the year comes to an end at the end of the month. So with that, without any questions, I would ask for your approval.
point out that VDOT has done a good job in terms of going after those additional monies in our federal strategy. And as long as I can remember, we've received additional money. So thank you for your efforts in that. Is there a motion? Motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Motion passes. Mr. You still up? Or
one more time.
One more time. Yes, okay.
Item number six is a resolution related to the Route 460 project. If you recall, in July, I brought forward to you a resolution that kind of outlined the how the funds would be wound down as it related to the Route 460 project. And I was a little too finite in my definition of that resolution, not knowing exactly where we would be. We are actually calling the bonds tomorrow, and as we moved forward from July to today, there's been some additional costs that we had to deal with. So what this resolution is asking is for you to grant the commissioner the authority to move forward with the final steps to close out the 460 project, and then we'll report back to you as to the final numbers. The numbers we're talking about are within $1 million of where we were last time. So it's not big numbers, but it is different than what we presented to you in July.
So still over about $500 million.
Still about $530 million
being restated to the 6-year plan.
Mr. Chairman, I saw.
Let's get a motion before we get. If I may, is there a motion? Second. Okay. Discussion.
I saw this. Did we not get a list of the projects that were the money was going to be allocated to, or is it just going to be held in
House Bill 2? It goes to the statewide project, the statewide pots.
So it's, we're just going to hold that money until the allocations under House.
So y'all make two. You make allocations. Any other discussions or questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr.
Thank you.
And you'll report back the final numbers. Penny here once
yes,
it's done.
Absolutely.
Mr. Walton, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I have the next several items. Item number 7, you recall in April this year the board passed a resolution authorizing the commissioner into an interim agreement with the Hampton Roads Transportation Accountability Commission for preliminary engineering work. On segment 2 of the Interstate 64 project, what you have before you today is a resolution authorizing the commissioner to enter into a final agreement for that project. It's a cost of approximately $214 million, so we would ask for your approval.
And let me point out that that is not monies you control. That is being funded through the Hampton Roads Transportation Accountability Commission. I received some emails from an announcement saying that the CTB had found money that it and had given it to Hampton Roads that had taken from other parts of the state. That is not the case. All these monies are from the Hampton Roads Transportability Accountability Commission, which they have the right. VDOT is simply the contractor, and that's the funding source to do the work. So I wanted to just point that out, that was not monies coming from the Commonwealth of Virginia from the statewide programs. With Mr. Kilpatrick.
If I could, on this project, again, this is segment 2, Governor McAuliffe and others had a groundbreaking a little over a week ago in Hampton Roads on segment 1, which is begins at Jefferson heading towards Fort Eustis. The segment 2 project will now take us from Fort Eustis to 199 east in Williamsburg, which is around the Busch Gardens area of Williamsburg. We expect to receive a price proposal in November, and we will bring to the board, assuming that the price proposals and the bids are solid, we would bring forward to the board for approval at the December board meeting to authorize me to sign the contract. Because of the contract, we are the contracting agent. It does come through the board, although the monies, again, are controlled by HR Tech. So I'll call it a technical requirement. I cannot sign a contract above $5 million
without your approval.
So, again, that action will come to you in December, just this December, and we would expect groundbreaking sometime next summer to early fall on segment two. And this will six lanes. This will, upon completion, 64 will be six lane from Jefferson, which is in Newport News at the airport, all the way to the east side of Williamsburg. Segment three will come before you in probably about a year. And that will take you all the way to Lightfoot, which is on the west side of Williamsburg.
Mr. Williams?
Just a question about that. Back when we were trying to expand 64 15 years ago and failed to raise the revenue to do it, the Williams, that next section, phase three, the Colonial Williamsburg, the foundation down there, that most of the engaged community down there did not want to infill in the current right of way, which would have required us to purchase a tremendous amount of right of way and do a tremendous amount of environmental studies to expand out. Was that ever resolved as what that next phase will look like?
Mr. Walton, I don't remember the final details of the EIS, but generally speaking, we're trying to widen the facility within the existing right-of-way. In some areas, we are able to do some widening to the outside within the existing right-of-way. But as you mentioned, you have military installations all through that area, and then you get into the Colonial Parkway. We have an adjacent frontage road there in the area in Williamsburg proper that really limits our ability to expand outward without pretty significant environmental, historic, and right-of-way impacts.
Very costly.
Absolutely. And again, this with this being the region's, it's the region's money, I think that will help drive that decision. It's important for us. We're also looking aesthetically, especially through the Colonial Williamsburg area.
Sure.
What can we do within the right-of-way footprint to improve the aesthetics of that trip?
Well, some of the things that Garrett was talking about earlier about the enhanced sound walls and enhanced bridge structures and stuff, that could play very well, especially through that 10-mile portion.
There are also some landscaping opportunities in the median, especially, and at interchanges. We've been doing a lot of work in downtown Richmond in the last couple of years in terms of enhanced landscaping. We see some opportunities there in the interior.
The board should also know that Mr. Walton and the VDOT, the contract, whoever funds it is responsible for overages. In other words, so to the extent that if there is any state money put on, it's a split that way because there's no way VDOT could enter into an agreement without going through House Bill 2. By the way, these projects, I assume, Mr. Malvin may have a comment, will be submitted by the TPO for scoring under House Bill 2. And so they're eligible for that, and we'll see if in fact they do. But I expect you'll see them under in that regard. And House Bill 2 allows reimbursement, if they fund it. But the good news is HR TAC has decided to keep the projects going, keep VDOT in the line. If they do get monies, they'll adjust their plan. But the projects are going forward; they're obligated. So. I think it's a very good for both the state and a wise use of HR TAC monies and the appropriate sharing between the locality and the Commonwealth. So is there a motion, Mr. Malvin?
I'm sure that HR TAC is committed to these three segments. We want to keep that construction flow continuous and overlap to the extent it can be. So I think that commitment is hard and strong there. I'd like to make a motion to accept the
second. Second. Any other discussion or comments regarding this? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, thank you, Mr. Walton.
Mr. Chairman, the next item involves a transportation enhancement grant to the town of West Point for a project. That project is now complete. There's about a $400,000 balance. And the town of West Point has requested that about $135,000 of that balance go towards a Safe Routes to School project in the town of West Point. Since the Safe Routes to School program is now part of the Transportation Alternatives program, we need the board's authorization for that project, and we would ask for your approval.
Mr. Cox.
Mr. Chairman and board members, I just ask you to approve this resolution. The town of West Point doesn't ask for much, and this would go a long way to helping them complete a very important project in their town. So I move for the resolution.
Any other comments or discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is a limited access break that's been requested by Prince George County. It will move back the right-of-way limit to allow for the construction of these, welcome to Prince George County spheres. In your package, you'll see a drawing, a schematic. It looks like a cell tower with a big ball on top of it. And this would allow for it to be placed within that area of property that was formerly limited access. So we would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Mr. Williams, I think you are the closest representative here that's present today. So
I'd move that we adopt the resolution.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those, any other discussions or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is also a limited access break in Stafford County. It'll allow for the moving of the limited access line to allow for an additional right turn lane at Route 1 and Route 610. We would ask for your approval.
Mr. Connors.
I move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion or comments?
Mr. Chairman,
this
is my last chance to do this, so I don't have any problem with this access break. But I think we talked about in the packet that we were going to have maps and drawings to show where these access breaks were.
They're not in there.
We'll make sure that that happens. Picture's worth a thousand words. And again, this is a operational project that we're doing.
I don't have a problem with right turn lanes.
And these changes are somewhat routine, but we will ensure that we've got a drawing that shows the facility and what we're doing.
Particularly when we're going to put a new stoplight on one of these primary routes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. Any other comments or suggestions? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Kilpatrick.
With your permission, I'll do it from here.
That'll be fine, sir.
The first item is action on the annual report by the Commissioner of Highways. This is required under the Code of Virginia for me to annually submit a report to the Governor, the General Assembly, to the Joint JLARC, and to the Commonwealth Transportation Board. Under the code, this is sort of an interesting provision. It requires you to authorize to direct me to put in the report what's in the code. So I don't know any better way to explain that, but that's simply how it is. You can read that in the brief. But again, this report, and we are working to ensure that this annual report, over the years, it's gotten bigger and smaller, and really what our goal here, first of all, to comply with the requirements of the code, but also to provide it in a clear way for both the board as well as the public to understand the state of VDOT and the transportation system. So with that, I request your approval of this motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Can you make an approval, Mr. Kilpatrick?
I think he's going to make.
Is there a first?
I'd move that we adopt.
A motion. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, now, any discussion? I'll just throw it out here. I think that this is one thing we reviewed last year with Mr. Kilpatrick, at least that, and they've really done a good job of really getting the report lined up that where you can actually, Mr. Lawson, actually tie it into what's going on, tie it into your budget. In other words, one of the things was, well, if we're actually want an emphasis on this, why is the report showing that we're spending more money on this? And a lot of it had to do with classifications, and that's all been cleaned up. I think it's pretty straightforward. Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Kilpatrick, you may do the report.
All right, thank you. And we will bring it back to the board. The next item is approval to issue a request for qualification for the Transform 66 outside the Beltway project under the Public-Private Transportation Act. And again, you were briefed yesterday both on the preferred alternative and a recommended location decision. We will bring that to you next month to actually make the location decision. This allows us to enter into the procurement. We had previously put out a draft request for qualifications, but this will actually allow us to put out the final request for qualifications, which is ready to go, and proceed on with the procurement process. There is one change to the resolution. We really wanted to reinforce that we're bringing that back to you, so we've repeated it. So we need to eliminate the last, be it further resolved, because it's identical to the one above it. So with that change, I request your approval on this resolution for us to enter into procurement.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Rosensky.
With pleasure that I move this with the amendment of removing the last paragraph as the next step to transform 66.
Second. Second by Mr. Kasparis. Any discussion or comments? I know we had a robust one yesterday. For those who were here at 8:30, we had another one. No, Mr. Kasparis, no. We want to make sure you have plenty of comment on this.
Commissioner, I'd just like to ask again, I'm not sure where we ended up on this issue, that we not constrain the number of, and this is RFQ only, not RFP, potential bidders on the design build ATC or the design build operate options.
I think the issue there, Mr. Kasparis, is that we heard that loud and clear, and that VDOT will do what it thinks that is necessary based on that to get the best competition and to make sure we get the best results from that.
So does that include not artificially constrained?
Yes, that's right. In other words, that's right. They'll look at the data and say this, I think that's correct.
Yeah. Fundamentally, if we have, you have five teams and they all score within maybe 1 point of each other or 2 points of each other, then it really gets down to, is there enough differentiation between those teams to pull one out? If on the other hand, you have three, four teams that score in the RFQ process fairly high, and you get one team that just doesn't bring the qualification, there's really no need to bring that forward. So that's the flexibility that we have in our RFQ, and again, it says typically three or more. Do I have that right, Dusty?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we wanted to make sure that we didn't artificially limit it to three teams. At the same time, we don't want to give a team that has not a very good proposal, give them the false hope, and frankly waste theirs and our time going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd add, just from my observation from the private sector, there's not a whole lot of teams that can go out here and put together a quality package, understanding VDOT, understanding the local needs, understanding the VDOT spec book. There's not going to be 12 to select from anyway. And if there were 12, there probably would only be three or four that through the scoring process would stand out. And then you do, competing against one or 20, they know that the price is going to drive that final number. If it were just a design build project, mm-hmm. price is going to drive the final number. And it's extraordinarily competitive, especially in today's market.
Mr. Whitworth.
Just to make it clear as to expectation, what specifically then will we receive in December, and what action will we expected to take?
I can't tell you what specifically you will receive because I don't know what we're going to recommend based on the data that we get. But we're looking at the major decisions, whether or not this will be a concession P3. And that doesn't mean we'll make the decision between the other two. We still may have to do other work. But the main decision, this will be a concession. As far as action, you are required, no action is required of you. What I have committed to you is that I will bring you back and explain the action to you as to what we are doing. So I want to make it clear. So there is no more action required of you, but I have told you I will do that to explain our action, and you will have that information before you have to fund anything. You still have to fund this project in that regard. And I've made the same commitment to the steering committee that we would explain our decision going forward and lay it out for them.
So all we're doing today is agreeing to allow you to pursue this
under a certain type of procurement.
What the steering committee has approved and agreed with, maybe that's a better way.
I guess my question is this vote even required?
It is.
Okay.
You have to allow Mr. Kilpatrick to move forward in AP3. And let me make clear, that means the rules of the design build no longer apply. So, I mean, in other words, we will be. Now, I'm not saying to let us off the hook, but I'm just saying those rules are not in effect by entering into AP3. Yes, Mr. Fraley.
Mr. Chairman, so once we get the, let's assume that we move forward in December with a concession agreement, with the start of the process. The idea would be that we won't know what the public subsidy number is until we reach the conclusions of those negotiations.
That's correct.
And at the time that we have to...
Although you will probably have a pretty good idea.
But what I'm talking about is when it comes time to put money in the six-year plan for the public subsidy piece of the PPTA, that's when we're going to have our real say.
That's correct.
That's when we can say we're not going to do it.
That's correct. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Coulomay?
Let me clarify. When you ask what we would get, sir, basically we'll get under the DBFOM alternative, we'll get a transmittal letter, we'll have preliminary cash flow model, and we'll have a financial narrative. So that will exist from each of the teams that respond to the qualifications under that bucket. Under DBOM, we'll get a transmittal letter, a preliminary cash flow model, and a financial narrative, not as extensive as the other one because it will be a publicly financed option. And third, under DBATC, we'll get the transmittal letter, a preliminary price model, and a financial narrative. So that'll be that's what the RFQ calls on the teams to submit at that point. So those packages will be a matter of public record.
Like I say, well, yeah, but in terms of what I understood, what the CTB gets.
Yeah, that was my question.
Yeah, that's what we get for everybody to look at. You're available to look at that, but there's nothing else going to come in front of you other than what's made available. With the exception, I've made the commitment that we will lay out in front of you why we made the decision to go private versus public or vice versa. We will lay out for you, here are the parameters, and our models.
I just thought it was important that clear expectations were understood.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Coulomay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Mr. Coulomay, one more question. On the design, build, operate, are we getting a price for that as well?
Definitely.
Could you just review again what we're getting on the DBO?
The DBOM, we will get a transmittal letter, a preliminary cash flow model, and a financial narrative.
But on the DBATC, you said price as well. Do we not get a price for the project?
We get a preliminary price model.
But you differentiated. Is there something different than what we're asking for? I realize there's an operating component on the...
That's basically the difference.
That's the fundamental difference with the DBOM. You're getting the additional operations and maintenance, extended operations and maintenance. It's integrated as a single contract, so you get that additional information.
So your financial narrative will include the out years of the project, whereas the DBATC would not.
But just to confirm, in any of those scenarios, we're getting a project price from the respondents?
We're getting an indicative price. So basically across each of the buckets, as the commissioner suggested yesterday, we'll have a number of design build estimates from a number of different
in the case of DB. Okay.
But I want to make clear, we may not know, all we really will have at the end of in December is to whether or not we believe this should be publicly financed or privately. Doug and Charlie and Jennifer, they may want to do more work to decide whether it ought to be a design, build, operate, maintain versus a design, build, ATC. That decision may not be made, probably won't be made in December, probably won't be made. We'll have additional work to do. We'll have an indicative. I just want you to think that in December 15th, we're going to come in here and say we're going to exactly do this.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify further, This is meant to provide us a comparison of various options and delivery methods. It's not actually giving us the price of the project,
right,
which will be developed more specifically in the RFP process.
So we have the indicated price.
We'll have
indicative price
that we'll use as a guideline to make this decision. Okay.
That's correct.
I suggest we view that as the range of prices that the project is likely to develop in the RFP process.
That's right.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Braille.
Doug. I'm worried I'm going to get us off track here, but I think it's something that we need to consider, because I don't know how in-depth these the data that you just mentioned we're going to get for each of these options is going to be, and I don't know how sensitive that is in terms of the negotiations. But I don't want to speak for anybody else on the board, but if we're planning on coming here on the 15th and just of December and just dropping this in, I'm going to need some more information prior. Now, I don't know whether that means, you know, I think, for example, we may, and we haven't done this since I've been on the board, but we may be needing to go into an executive session, for example, under FOIA. I don't know how detailed these things are, but we need to be planning on that and let the public know that as we evaluate this, we may need to.
So let me come back.
But just let me finish, because okay. I know under the last PPTA I had something to do with the port. We all had to sign non-disclosure agreements individually if you wanted access to this data. I don't know if we're going to have to do that or not. So I just raised these issues because we're moving at a really
You're not being asked to vote. You're not asked. I was going to come back. Your role in this is, I told you, I'd bring you up. It is his decision,
right?
The procuring agency decision how to move forward. I told you I would. You're not voting on anything. I'll just make that clear.
Right.
We're giving you information, and I'm happy to share that information. What we do in public versus not, but you're not asked to vote. I don't want to make that clear. You're not making a decision on what procurement.
That's fine.
I don't mean that to be negative. You're not. But I'm just saying that's, you know.
Well, whether it's in December or whether it's in July.
That's right.
I'm not going to allocate X $100 million to a project without knowing whether that was the best deal we could get.
That was my point. I'm not sure if it's in December that happens, Mr. Franklin. Okay. It may not be in December, but I understand where you're coming from.
But for you to adequately explain, if it's just an informational session, why you're doing this, you're going to want to go into some detail, I suspect, as to what the proposals were or were not.
And that assumes,
and I don't know if that's proprietary information or not. I mean, I'm just saying.
And that's what I'm going to get to. That's why I made the comment yesterday. I see very little proprietary information in
this.
A financial model, my model, their model, I mean, it's, you know, nothing proprietary. It's how they are. So, but I understand where you're coming from, in 100%.
What I had anticipated was you were going to explain to us why you're making the decision whether you're going with just a concession piece.
That's correct.
And I don't expect that you're going to give me all their packages for me to put on the website for me to review and decide who's got what.
I know. I'm going to lay out, here's how they models and how
we've got four qualified folks that do meet the standard.
Right.
Or we don't have anyone that does.
I think that's right.
Well, and under the guidelines, we get a briefing. And by the way, there's some briefings that have to go on with General Assembly members, if I remember.
Yeah, that's correct. That's
true. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm just, as these briefings go on, we don't want to impede people, because if I was a bidder and understood that this was going to be my shot, right, and I may put forth some I want the bidders to feel free to tell us what they really are thinking, and some of that may be proprietary, and all I'm saying is we just need to be prepared for that.
I agree. Mr. Fralin, but however, let me just point this out. I think it's up to us to determine what's proprietary. And I don't mean that to say they can't suggest. Here's my point. I can't say, well, I don't want you to tell everybody, and we have to make a decision on that, and we get down to the end, and that doesn't hold up. So I just want to make a clear expectation. I don't think what, a lot of what we're asking for, and if we think it is, I'll have take the we'll take the, these guys. We'll determine it, Doug, and all will determine it.
There's well-established procedures.
Yeah, procedures as to what's proprietary. But you will have the information you need to understand why we made this decision and any other information. If we have to go into closed session, if we I've been in there once,
right,
after the fact, unfortunately, and so I understand where you're coming from. But to Mr. Gazinski's point, I don't want to miss any illusion, and I don't mean this to be negative. But you're not asked to vote. You're asked to allocate money. So when we bring you into that, I think is we're not sure we'll have all the information in December in terms of proprietary. That's all I'm saying.
And I recognize the difference. In the port, the responsible public entity was the port authority, and there was some dispute about that, and the Attorney General weighed in on that and made it clear who the RP, responsible public entity, was. I think it's pretty clear here that the responsible public entity is you.
VDOT, the procuring agency, yeah. And the
that's right.
Well, it's VDOT. We then that puts us back in the thing, I think. But
no, that not under a P3. That's why I said you suspend the rules on that. So
well,
that,
we don't need to.
I know, I understand, but I mean,
I don't have
right.
any problem with that.
Right.
I'm having a hard time understanding how we can make the decision to either do a concession or not do a concession without knowing in some detail what that concession would consist of. And if there are different financial models or different things like that, I can just see people not wanting that out in the public.
And we'll go through what's okay. proprietary and what's not. I understand.
All right.
I think, let's put it this way, before, like I think our models are proprietary until we make the decision because we're negotiating. After we make the decision, our models aren't, I don't think they're proprietary. I think the public has the right to know why we made this decision. So maybe we're saying the same thing and I'm getting caught up a little bit in form, but I understand exactly. And I will tell you, I want your concurrence if I'm going to sign off, quite frankly, as secretary, that whatever we end up doing met the public need.
Yeah, all I'm saying is let's be prepared.
Yeah.
Because if we have to sign non-disclosure agreements, things like that, you're going to get pushback from people. So.
Why I say, we are an oversight board. This is an execution agency, and that's all I'm drawing. But you have to have the information to do your oversight. But you don't. I'm not saying right, wrong, or different. Board is not negotiating the contract. It is VDOT and the executive branch in that. So I'm not saying that to be saying we'd not want you in. I'm just saying can't have, just like we couldn't have the General Assembly voting on the deal. I mean,
I'm not saying that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, and
if
I would
you want to explain your decision, somebody's brought to you some newfangled way to do things and it's proprietary,
then we won't.
Say, listen, I can tell you about it, but we got to go and executive
yeah.
session, you got to sign non-disclosure agreements. You want to have that done ahead of time.
Right. And I think, where's Mr. Walton, Mr. Allen? Those are discussions that we've already had out. But I come back to the fact, I believe unless there's an overwhelming, it isn't proprietary. A lot of things that we were told proprietary aren't proprietary. No. So we'll get into that.
That's subject to the negotiation. But
right.
you understand, if you take that position, they may not give you the best deal.
No.
Because they won't want to disclose.
And that may not be in the public's interest.
It may not.
I'm not going to go down. I may not want to. How can how can the public not know?
Right.
Yeah, you know, so right. That, I think that's the rub. So. But we hear you and...
And that enforced to death.
Okay, we have a Mr. Chip. Do you want to say something, Mr. Professor?
I just request your approval.
All right.
Keep it simple.
We had a motion.
Motion to second. We're in discussion. Is there any more discussion or comments? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, resolution passes and. Duly noted the robust discussion of both days and the expectation of this board.
We anticipate posting the request for qualifications this afternoon.
Yeah, this afternoon or tomorrow.
Okay, so we had it prepared in anticipation, so it will go out. This will be they have a draft already, but again, this gives the team something to work off of over the next
couple weeks,
couple months.
What's the deadline?
The deadline for receipt of the shortlisting again, Mr. Coulomb, will be when?
The RFQ return is like 1st of October.
October 1st, the request for qualifications comes in. We will potentially shortlist off of that, and then in all three buckets, and then the final packages will be submitted when? Is it November 30th?
November
30th. So November 30th, again, the concept of the buckets, so we will have three buckets, teams will put in their qualifications. We will look at who's qualified out of those buckets. They will go down to a final package, will be submitted November 30th. We will evaluate those and bring information to the board at the December meeting, which is second week of December, first week?
December 3rd and 4th.
December 3rd and 4th. Okay.
Then you have another narrowing.
That's a short
And then
window.
You do an RFP.
Very short
those, and those are particularly. That last narrowing, those are the ones that are invited to.
That's correct. That's correct. Pick which of the three buckets to move forward with.
And which three or four award.
That's correct.
Proposals to use.
Yes. And then we'll go into the request for proposal stage. And again, driving towards a competitive process that will result in selecting a team and preparing the comprehensive agreement, which is the contract.
Okay. Next up, we have Mr. Moore.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We're going to go over the letting from August 26th as well as two additional design build projects. On August 26th, we let 13 projects design bid build. Of those, 11 were moving forward for award, recommendation for award. Two of those, the reason it's 11, not 13, one was rejected for re-advertisement. The other one had no bid, so it was withdrawn, and we'll go out later on with that. But we do have one of those 13 or of those 11 that we'll be bringing to the board, and it should be in front of you. It's H-91. That is in Culpeper District. It is Fielder's Choice. There were five bidders. It was within the percentage of the award, the estimate, as you can see on the right, and we recommend going for award.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
There are two additional projects that we're bringing forward. One is UPC 76244. It is a design build. It is in Loudoun County, and it is the Belmont Ridge Road reconstruct of four lanes. Let me call to your attention that this one is a little bit different. This has only happened one other time. This is a best value, but the best value on this job actually went to the higher technical proposal, which was not the cheapest. There was about a $3 million difference, but there were some additional items we got early completion. The successful bidder had identified utilities that we had not identified, reducing some risk and giving added value. They'd also an additional turnover and a variety of different things that when they evaluated it, the technical proposal actually came out higher. It doesn't happen that often, but it happened. The other thing I would call your attention to is the difference between the bid amount and the six-year budget. You can see it's about $10 million, but that's not extra money. These design builds have a right-of-way and utility pot that goes with it as they acquire it that is not part of the contract. So that's within the value we've got. Again, we recommend this go forward with award.
Recommend motion for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
And the final project is Military Highway Continuous Flow Intersection. down in Hampton Roads area. Our district UPC is 9783, 1765, and 84243. Again, this is was a design build. Shortlisted to three bidders on it. You can again see a difference on the right. It has significant right-of-way and utility allocation to it that's included in that difference. Good competition, and again, we recommend that that go forward for award.
Mr. Malman?
Okay. Mr. Williams? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
We had the threshold in August. Threshold, was there anything to report in there?
There is not. That's okay. Just for the board's information, unless there's a question.
Okay, I think that completes the action item. I want to make one more comment.
Mr. Chairman, I had one item on a new business. I just thought of this. We were coming back, and I was, and this is just a question that can be answered later. When we inspect these projects, we send out inspections. One of the things that's come up with the drone technology, I don't know if we're utilizing that, but we were sort of having a farcical discussion about drones, and you know, it seems to me that these district engineers could send them out, take aerial photographs, see exactly where they are as they're monitoring construction. I don't know if we're doing that anymore.
Today, the answer is no. The technology continues to improve in terms of drone technology for anything from inspection. Utility companies looking to use them to inspect their rights of way, you know, especially pipelines and the like, instead of flying the helicopter, which they do today. There are some that the laws regarding drones continue to evolve as to whether you can or can't, government can or can't use the drone technology. One of the areas that we actually see some opportunities in the area of flying corridors for the purpose of videos. The videos we saw, it's a great opportunity to video a corridor to help show people what proposed improvements, especially a new alignment. Also in the area of environmental wetland delineation, at least preliminary, being able to, again, a greenfield alignment, you can fly that with a drone and be able to video and get some notion. There are some that have talked about things as detailed as bridge inspection, that you could use a drone to inspect a bridge instead of using
So you're looking at it, we don't have the ability to do it right now.
New York City's already doing it in their subway system.
Yeah.
It was on CBS Morning News this morning.
There is a new, transportation is on a new committee on drone technology, and that's one of the areas I think that Mr. Kilpatrick has pointed out that could be. Now, I can't get up and hit a hammer on it, but it can alert you if there's cracks and then go out and do it.
I mean, the reality is that we've been using a pipe inspection for some time. Fundamentally, it's a vehicle with cameras, lights, that crawls the tunnels or crawls the pipes for interior inspection. And so that's been done for a good while. We see some real opportunities. There are some practical limitations. Again, experienced inspector, I'll call bridge inspections especially, and literally a tapping hammer. We get better results in terms of soundness of concrete with a human ear and a small hammer tapping to find out if we have dead concrete or not.
You don't want to fly it over there, guys. I just shot one down three or four months
ago. One other thing on new business. But I did want to say, I reiterate again, these conversations, I think in my 5 years or 6 years involved, these are some of the best conversations we've had as a board. I'm probably a little aggressive, and I apologize if I am. I firmly believe, though, the process has been too much the other way. These laws were designed to protect the public and to offer the public the benefits of the private sector, not designed for the private sector. And I think the process has been too much that way, and that's why I tend to push back on. We've had some things thrown up. I've heard, VDOT can't get out of its own way, can't do this, can't do that, everything. I'm very committed to a level playing field and having you fully informed before you allocate. I'm very committed. But I'm committed to a level playing field, not one that's skewed in one direction or the other. And if I'm going to err, it's going to be on the side of the public, because I believe that's what my fiduciary responsibility is. So I want to just let you know where I'm coming from so you know when I'm responding. But I do want to apologize if I sometimes seem to push back hard, because I do believe that the process had gotten out of sync in that regard. So, but having said that, certainly believe in the private sector and making sure we're all playing on this field together in that. So, the other thing I would have is, we pointed out next month we will be in Hampton Roads. It could be a long meeting if you chose to stay the entire time. There's not like you to stay as much as you can. Certainly would encourage you to stay at least to see the governor open the conference in that, and hopefully you'll stay longer. I do believe it's going to be a very, very good conference in terms of content. It's going to be in Virginia Beach, so hopefully we'll have good weather and down there. But our meeting, we will come in on the 27th, which is Tuesday, and begin our workshop session. If we need to go over, the conference doesn't start until noon the next day. We will complete that in the morning before the noon conference. Governor will be kicking it off during that luncheon. And then 2 days in the final wrap-up will be Secretary Fox will be coming down to address on Friday.
What's that date again?
We come in the 27th.
Of October?
Of October, yes, 27th. And that evening, I hope we'll have an event at my home that evening, and then the rest of the time will be events at the conference in that. So, but I just wanted, for your planning, that certainly the meeting and certainly through the governor's address, and I would encourage you to stay as much as you can, but I know it's a long week, and many of you do have jobs that you have to do. But anyway, is there any other new business to come before the board? Okay, with that, then we will call to an end this formal session. I appreciate everybody's input, and we'll see you in October.
All right. All right.